are much more susceptible to certain things. It could be that they started off in a very rich family but went into poverty. All of these other socioeconomic factors, these geographical factors, are really hard to disentangle over the longer term. But on the shorter term, for say the flash flood or the short heat wave, then you know all of these at that instant. And that's one of the real problems with this longer term burden.
From your time as a research scientist at Oxford, you worked on a range of climate issues, such as the polar vortex, for example. What steered you toward investigating the health impacts of climate change?
Well, the health impacts are some of the most direct things we can see for climate change. There's also so much to be done on the methods to really understand these pathways. You mentioned the paper about brain damage in The Lancet. You know, that's a very significant finding that was not particularly well known before. And it's such a rapidly moving field that we're always finding these sort of connections that perhaps we didn't even think about beforehand. And so it makes it a very important field to be in at the moment. It's also the one area where we really feel we can go to our governments around the world and we can point at data and we can say, look, here's the amount of people dying because of inaction of climate change. Here's what you can do to help prevent them die. And by the way, you should be cutting carbon emissions as well, because otherwise you're just putting a plaster over the problem. Clearly, that doesn't work with every government. I'm not going to mention names, but I'm sure your viewers can guess who I'm talking about. One of the real issues is governments often come in cycles, often 4 or 5 year cycles, and what one government might want to do or invest in is not necessarily what another one might be, and that really slows the progress towards net zero.
Well, as we wrap this up, is there anything else you would like listeners to know about climate change and their health?
The only thing I would say is there's a lot you can do personally for your own health. And, you know, heat waves is one of the biggest killers globally. There's quite a bit people can do just to prevent these sorts of things. In that case, it might be checking up on elderly relatives. It might be drinking more water. It might be changing the way you open or close windows or curtains in your house, for instance. So for a lot of these problems, there are pretty logical and simple solutions. That's absolutely not always the case, especially for populations in poorer parts of the world. But my point to your viewers are there's a lot you can do yourselves to make your families and your close friends resilient to these sort of extreme events. It's not all about governments or other organizations doing it.
From the University of Bristol, we've been speaking with Professor Dan Mitchell. You can find links to all the science we just talked about in my show blog, published Wednesdays at ecoshock.org. Dan, thank you for spending time with our listeners.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
This is a climate emergency. Find out more on the blog, ecoshock.org. No sign up, just the latest info, free for all. ecoshock.org.
A stun grenade, also called a flashbang, suddenly overloads our senses. We cannot react. Isn't that how it is right now? That is the state of human affairs and the natural world. Load up a continuing pandemic, unbearable heat, city burning wildfires, big storms, vandals in government, fearful markets, worried people. We are stunned. And the name for that is polycrisis. It is not temporary. It is a byproduct of superindustrializing in overdrive. As Adam Tooze, the British historian and professor at Columbia University, explains, a polycrisis doesn't just happen. It is made.
Economics, politics, geopolitics, and then the natural environment blowing back at us. That's why I think the polycrisis term has a real utility. And then it was picked up by Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the European Commission, in 2015, 2016 to describe the experience of trying to govern Europe when you had to deal with the Greek debt crisis, Putin's first aggression against Ukraine, and the sort of rumblings of Brexit in the background and the refugee crisis in Syria spilling over into Europe. And I think what he was trying to get at, and why I think the term is still useful, is this experience of not a single crisis with a single clearly defined logic, the financial crisis, and it's about mortgage-backed securities and they're blowing up, but this coming together at a single moment of things which, on the face of it, and really when you even dig into it, don't have anything to do with each other, but nevertheless seem to pile on to each other to create a situation in the minds of policymakers, business people, families, individuals, when we're thinking about the COVID crisis, for instance, that is overwhelming and that leaves us unable to cope and, you know, questioning our identity and finding it very difficult to decide what the ground is that we stand on, because it's being destabilized from so many different directions at once. And there are different versions of, I think, this experience, especially if you live in North America, if you live in the United States. Americans have been experienced, certainly liberal Americans, I think conservatives feel it too, a kind of sense of national crisis that's quite comprehensive, but they read it as the experience of the American dream coming apart. Whereas I think the polycrisis concept captures this as a much more general experience. And I think in the last, I wouldn't confine it to the last couple of years. Juncker said it started in 1516. I think you could make a good case that really the unfolding of this current moment starts in 2008, which is simultaneously not just the financial crisis, which we all remember, but also Putin's first aggression against Georgia. It is also the breakdown of the WTO in the Doha round. It is setting the stage for the disappointment of the Copenhagen climate talks. And then on top of everything else, there was a swine flu epidemic in 2008-09. And so in a sense, you already see there many of the elements of the current moment coming together. And the key things for me are finance, politics, if you like, the disruptions of American democratic politics with Sarah Palin being put on the GOP ticket in 08. So economics, politics, geopolitics, and then the natural environment blowing back at us. And those four things, they don't reduce to a single common denominator, right? They don't reduce to a single factor. And that's why I think the polycrisis term has a real utility, descriptively as much as anything else, because it's kind of hand-waving. Of course, it's kind of arm-waving. It's going, look, there's a lot of stuff happening here all at once. And that precisely is what we're trying to get our wrap our minds around. And as the Club of Rome report and various types of epidemiological expertise were saying at the time, the dawning awareness that the miracle of economic growth, which had been, you know, really taken off in a dramatic scale after World War II, has a downside. So that a series of really very dramatic risks are not just merely exogenous anymore, but are being generated by the very success of our economic growth story. And that awareness really comes quite sharply into focus, both on the, shall we say, resource environmental envelope side, but also on the pandemic disease zoonotic mutation side in the 1970s. And so that, for me, would be the moment where the modern polycrisis mode becomes visible, this first beginning to be articulated. And if you take Edgar Morin, so the French theorist who first coined the term, if you take his intellectual biography back, he's a classic 1970s environmental alarmist.
Wait a minute. Speaking to the wealthy movers and shakers at Davos, Adam Tooze claims the inventor of the polycrisis concept was a classic 1970s alarmist. Actually, it's too bad we did not listen enough to the French theorist of complexity, Edgar Morin. At the time of this broadcast, Edgar is still alive at the age of 103 in Paris. He is the author of over 60 books, not many of them in English. A polymath who contributed to everything from media studies to ecology and systems biology. Morin is recognized as a pioneer in complexity and complex thought. He is a founder of transdisciplinary work. Bring me many more such alarmists, please. For me, Adam Tooze is not suggesting a carefully planned conspiracy to create this pack of converging threats. While there may be actors who temporarily capitalize on these civilizational threats, the total package is produced by all of us in a system which is destabilizing due to unplanned and somewhat unforeseen consequences. The cabal at the top struggles in the whirlwind just as we do, blown even harder perhaps than the peasants below. We've covered the polycrisis extensively on Radio EcoShock. I recommend our program, Coping in the Polycrisis, broadcast in March 2023. I had systems and security expert Homer Dixon on here. Listen to that program right from my website at ecoshock.org, or download it free to your own device and listen later.
With the work of the Columbia University historian Adam Tooze, the concept's been getting a lot of airtime in his blogs and Substack blogs, and also a lot of conversation at the World Economic Forum, as just kind of a general label for the fact that the world seems to be incredibly chaotic, and we're being, as you suggested, hit by one shock after another, a lot of them related, of course, to climate change. But then we've had the pandemic and the financial and economic consequences of the pandemic, food crisis that was aggravated by the pandemic and also by the Ukraine-Russia war and the war itself, of course. And it seems like all of this stuff is happening. I think a lot of the commentators, including those at the World Economic Forum, think of this as just in a sense, bad luck. You know, just a lot of stuff happens to be going wrong simultaneously, and we'll weather it, we'll move beyond it, and life will get back to something like normal. We're arguing in our work that actually the coincidence of crises is not a coincidence. In other words, there are underlying mechanisms that are driving the synchronization of a lot of these crises that we don't fully understand. So we haven't unpacked the causal dynamics entirely, but it's not just chance that a whole bunch of things are going wrong simultaneously.
Homer Dixon is director and founder of the Cascade Institute in British Columbia, and he operates the helpful website at polycrisis.org. But is the convenient catch-all label of polycrisis, beloved at Davos, COP27, and all the elite functions, is it really a distraction from the fundamental ecological mega-crisis? Doesn't it make climate change or species extinction just one of many concurrent problems like migration or inflation or many human-only issues? In his 2023 discussion at the World Economic Forum at Davos, Adam Tooze says he is a Keynesian, using economic theory developed by John Maynard Keynes. Keynes is the architect of democratic economies, including ways to survive the Great Depression of the 1930s. He advocates government intervention. Bailouts and Green New Deals ever since draw on Keynes' work. Here, Tooze describes the Keynesian technique of breaking down the polycrisis into a series of subthoughts called a black box.
And what's so interesting about Keynes is he has a politics of black boxing. So he's generally speaking a Democrat in favor of trying to maintain democracy and its functioning at a very fragile moment in the 20s and 30s. But to do that, what he thinks is that you need to take certain problems off the agenda. So the problem of unemployment or the problem of excessively high interest rates and uncompetitiveness can be addressed by economic policy. So what he's trying to offer is a set of technical fixes that allow you to take those issues off the board so that then you can concentrate the limited scope there is, the limited political capital is, the building consensus or just functioning democracy on issues which are harder to resolve and where genuine political agreement is needed. And that seems to me to be a model for thinking about our current moment.
Can we really pull out connected pieces to apply a technical fix? Can we take COVID or climate change off the table for now to focus on other things? Doesn't that make them both more dangerous? Anyway, all the parts of the polycrisis interact and then morph into other states. I worry some Greens tend to put the environment in a black box, leaving out things like inequality or wealth or racial injustice, because those aren't our issues. We just want to concentrate to solve global warming to get clean air and clean water. But can that ever happen in a dictatorship or a fascist corporate state? Beware of black boxes, that's all I'm saying. Tooze may take comfort in psychoanalysis and promote his liberal Keynesian economics, but I think that's a little too late, too late. He offers a comforting formula as though we can control ourselves or our fate now that this grand experiment with the atmosphere has been launched on Earth. Keynesian thinking and even the Green New Deal may be archaic thought systems from the time before the Anthropocene and the Great Acceleration, before artificial intelligence and global communication, before human systems began their flight into the sun with wings attached of wax. Call us doomers or realists, natural systems and our own madness will most likely force massive degrowth and depopulation on us one way or another, sooner or later. Nothing can grow forever on a finite planet. This horrible but required reset may be already underway. Real choices, such as they are, assuming we survive as a species with some knowledge, will be made after, and likely not by most of us, sharing these thoughts today. So that is where post-doom thought and belief begin.
Please, please support your local radio station with a good donation. You know print media is floundering. TV has totally sold out to the big corporate machine and they're losing viewers. Nonprofit radio is one of the last stands of advertising free speech. I count on you to put your money where your ears are by supporting your nonprofit radio station.
We started this program with radical uncertainty. Imagine landing a large passenger plane in a dense fog. You have instruments and radar, all provided by science, as our guide. We need to land this crazy heat engine, despite the fog of uncertainty and unknowable consequences. Destabilized life requires radical action to decelerate, to reach terra firma safely again. In coming shows, we explore a plausible driver of current human failure, brain rot. We always presume humans are getting more intelligent. The news suggests otherwise. Are we getting stupider? Stay tuned to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. This is a climate emergency. Thank you for listening and caring about this world.
The fire, when the fires come thump and smoke rolls in, it seems like God or some chaotic power. Of the flames in the climate hour, ain't seen rain since I don't know when. Nobody knows if we see it again. Dark love just waiting to light it up. We run on fumes to the grocery store. Burn that tar from the down. Seen rain since I don't know when. Nobody knows if we see it again. Dark luck just waiting to light it up. We run on fumes to the grocery store.
We are diverse, independent, and yours. CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
listening to the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the one and only campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, broadcasting on the unceded ancestral territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Katie, Coquitlam, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse.
My name is Jamie.
That's Jamie over there. It's Jesse here. We are here with you, listener, to talk about and play our favorite local independent music from this fair city known these days as Vancouver. And we got a whole bunch of fun new music for you, a playlist that is, once again, longer than we have the time to do. It seems like maybe we need to do this a little more often, Jamie, but we're here.
We just need to catch up every single time. There's so much more music.
So much catching up.
It is better than the days where we'd have to really,
really dig,
really dig, and then we just end up playing the same songs we would play a thousand times.
Very true. I'm happy with this turn of events. We have way more. We're not starved for choice. We're gluttonous with choice. I don't know. Choice paralysis is not going to happen today, though, because we do have a whole bunch of cool stuff lined up for you. But before we get started, Jamie, how are you?
I am really good. I've had a full weekend outside enjoying the summer air. Jesse, how about you?
I have had a nice weekend staying inside and exploring the post-apocalyptic wasteland of Massachusetts in Fallout 4, because that's all I'm doing these days is running around killing super mutants and raiders and basically killing everyone is the way of things, unless I like them.
Big killer.
Yeah.
That's really great. I'm all about, you got to have a vidgam day, you know? Mm-hmm. And if that's several days, that's fine too.
Yep. And maybe one day I will see the sunlight.
Overrated.
Yeah.
It's bad for you.
Well, I mean, it actually is. There is that. Anyway, let's get into the music, huh?
Let's do it. Let's play it.
Okay. I told you there was new music. There's a lot of new music today, and we're going to start with a band that is new to me and new to the mixtape called The Planchettes, or The Planchette. I think it's The Planchettes just because it's the, not le. Anyway, they put out a record called Levity Works, and this one is called Dominate. We'll be right back.
In the morning, I wake up my sleepy head. To the mirror, I find someone else instead. Looking back, questioning all I've said. Whose reflection gives pause to disguise a shed? Quest before me, and who will I find in here? Lick off the layers, a faceless voice appears, invoking wisdom with words that I cannot hear. I wander aimless, distracted by flash and shine, fantasies and snake oil. Searching, the true self eludes my gaze. Hang on to things that will help to make me brave. Quest before me, and who will I find in here? Lake off the layers, a faceless voice appears, invoking wisdom with words that I cannot hear. Don't you know?